So we are continuing through a series on the book of Ruth, and we're going to be looking at chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to chapter 3. And we'll be looking at verses 1 to 4 in particular. But first of all, I've got this question. Have you ever been rescued or rescued someone? Have you ever been rescued or rescued someone? So before I get you to discuss with people around you, I'd like to share a time I got rescued. This here is a notorious beach in the North Island of New Zealand called Piha, and that rock in front is called Lion's Rock because it looks a bit like a lion. And I was celebrating with my family my auntie's 40th birthday, so we decided to go for a swim on the other side of Lion's Rock, and we got caught in a rip. What happened was, my brother, who's 2 years younger than me, we were playing in the water with boogie boards, and then we all of a sudden we went from having water around our ankles to being above our heads. And my dad saw us, so he did his dad thing of racing in to save us. But then we all, three of us, got stuck, and so he was having to share the boogie boards with us. And so we were kind of stuck, and then a lifeguard rescued us, and we got into lots of trouble because we weren't swimming. We weren't swimming between the flags. So we were getting ripped into, and then my auntie, whose birthday it was that we were celebrating, she came along and she ripped into the lifeguard saying, like, because we were still getting our breaths back, lying on the sand, trying to recover, thanking God that we didn't drown, getting told off by a lifeguard. And so she came to our defence and helped us. So I ask you the question then, to discuss with people around you. Take about 5 minutes and discuss this. Have you ever been rescued, or have you been the one who's rescued somebody else? I know for plenty of dads have had to rescue their kids often. So maybe if you're a dad, get to hear that story, or a mum. So take your time now to do that. So first of all, the first thing that's happening in this passage is that chapter 3 is a bit of a rescue plan for Naomi to rescue both her and Ruth. So if we go to chapter 3, verse 1, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for." So Naomi is thinking, I've got to make a way so that you can be looked after. And so she comes up with this plan because, for context, Naomi and Ruth are in Bethlehem, but they're very vulnerable. They're needing to be looked after because, unfortunately, in that context, men are higher in society than women, so they have no means to provide for themselves. They must either... Ruth had the option to go back to her family in Moab when she was there and stay with her family, or she did the other option, which is what she did, which was to follow Naomi to Bethlehem, where both of them are now vulnerable because they've got no one to provide for. We looked at a few weeks ago in chapter 2 how there's the concept of gleaning, of where they could follow after the harvesters and get whatever leftovers they can find. But this is not going to take care of them in the long run. They need something else. So Naomi thinks, what can I do? What can I do that Ruth will be provided for? Naomi's a bit older than Ruth, so she knows for her daughter-in-law that she has to think of something to do so that Ruth will be provided for and looked after. So she comes up with this plan. She says, when he lies down, meeting Boaz, note the place where he is lying, then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. So it's an interesting situation because Naomi knows, because she's Jewish, she knows the the practices. He knows what needs to be done for Ruth to be looked after. And so she's telling Ruth to get ready and to go and lie at Boaz's feet, which seems to us a bit dodgy in our context, but we'll get to that. So we see back in chapter 2, and Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." So we see back in chapter 2 that Ruth goes to the field and she ends up in the field of Boaz. So that's what Naomi is thinking, because at the end of chapter 2, Boaz looks after Ruth, sends her home with all this extra food, and so Naomi thinks at the start of chapter 3, what are we going to do to look after yours? And then she thinks, okay, Boaz. Boaz is the answer. And that's the person that Ruth has been told to go and lie at the feet of Boaz. And so again, it does feel a bit, for us in our cultural context, it seems a bit strange to lie at the feet of someone. But this person, Joseph Benson, says this. He says, "What she did seems to us indecent and would certainly be a very improper conduct in any woman in our days, but the general character of both Naomi and Ruth forbids us to suppose that they were that there were any sinful intentions." So this commentator, this author, is saying, yes, for us this is a bit unusual. But as we've seen through the book of Ruth, there are cultural things going on. It's a book of a lot of cultural understanding that has to take place. And so this author says it's not sinful, because we know from both Naomi and Ruth that their character is such that what Naomi is suggesting for Ruth to do is not bad at all. And this is how Ruth responds. She says, "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. So she goes, she gets it all prepared, she puts on nice clothes, perfume, and she goes and she waits until Boaz has fallen asleep and then lies at his feet. So in a way, this is a rescue story, but it's a rescue story of Naomi rescuing both Ruth and herself, because both of them are in a really difficult situation. Chapter 1 tells us that all the men in their family died. First Elimelech died, and then Mahlon and Chilion passed away. So they have no means to be looked after. And so they therefore need someone to take care of them, which is why Naomi puts into place a very cultural plan that she has to save both of them. But it's important for us today in our context to realise that there are plenty of people who are vulnerable, who are poor, and it's our responsibility to look after them. God created the laws in the Old Testament for the nation of Israel to take care of its people in such circumstances. But God also says to us what we must do as Christians. We don't follow the law of kinsman redeemer, as in the book of Ruth, but we have other instructions, such as James 1:27. "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." So one of our instructions, one of our main responsibilities as followers of Jesus, is to look after widows and orphans, to take care of the poor and the vulnerable. That's one of the things God has called us to do. So we see in this passage, we see more Jewish customs, more things that kind of might be head scratches when we first read this book, but when you do some research, when you look into it, you think, oh, that all makes sense. So when Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. So again, it does to us seem a bit strange, because I'm not sure how many of us men would be surprised if an unknown woman wakes us up and are lying at the bottom of our feet. That would be quite shocking to us. So we would be alarmed, but Boaz had an idea of what was going on. Boaz knew from his culture what was happening. So Ruth 3:9, he responds this way. "Who are you?" he asks. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." So this is where this chapter, the plot thickens, because again it's this concept of being a redeemer is introduced. And we'll look at, you'll see in chapter 4 how it comes out, how it's all fulfilled, this concept of a guardian redeemer, what actually happens. The pulpit commentary says Ruth lay crosswise at his feet, a position in which Eastern servants frequently slept in the same chamber or tent with their master. So to Boaz, this wouldn't be as shocking as it would be for us if we woke and found someone at the bottom of our feet. Because in that day, that's where the servants slept, was at their master's feet. Now imagine if they woke up and they needed something like a drink of water, then their servant would go get them a drink. So pretty, not as dodgy as we think it is. So this is what's happening, is that Ruth has gone there and she's kind of pulled a card to say, this is what you need to do. You are a guardian redeemer. So Matthew Henry, another Bible commentator, said, "Law and custom gave Ruth, who was now proselytized to the true religion, a legal claim upon Boaz. It was customary for widows to assert this claim." So she is doing a legal act. She is doing something legally by lying at his feet and by asking Boaz to put the garment over him, is basically saying, "I belong to you." And so she's doing what happens in that time of saying, "You have the responsibility of looking after me." And so we see in the Old Testament, before the book of Ruth, the law that puts this practice into place. If brothers are living together and one of them dies without a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. Her husband's brother shall take her and marry her and fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to her. So we see this law saying, if someone dies, if a man dies, someone has to marry the widow so that she's looked after. And it's always the closest male relative. And so in this case, in Deuteronomy, it says, well, if there's a brother, then that brother must marry the widow. But we know that that there is no brothers for Ruth to marry, because I think it was Chilion, he died and then his brother also died. So there's no an obvious person for Ruth to marry, which is why Naomi comes up with this rescue plan to go to Boaz and say, "Boaz, you have to marry me because you are a relative." Deuteronomy goes on to say, "The first son she bears shall carry on the name of the dead brother, so that his name will not be blotted out from Israel." So the purpose is to continue the line, is to continue the male line, because if the male dies and there's no children, then the guardian redeemer must marry that lady so that any child that they have will not continue the line of the dad, but of the passed away husband, so that their line continues on. Which is very technical, and it gets even more complicated in chapter 4, but it is an interesting thing to do. Thankfully, we live in a world today where we don't have to do that. I know there are people who, I've heard stories of where a husband dies and the brother of that person marries the wife, says, "I know I'm not as good as my brother was, but I'll look after you." So it still happens today, but it's not a law, it's not an expectation or an instruction. This passage also shows us that there is a right way to do things. There is a right way to do things. And so, if we sneak a little bit into the next chapter, chapter 4, we have this interesting statement. So the women of Bethlehem say this to Naomi. They say, "And through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." So Ruth chapter 4 references something back in Genesis 38, which is actually quite a dodgy story, very R-rated, but the G version is that Tamar tricks Judah and they have a son together who carries on her dead husband's name. Because earlier in the chapter, we have this. Judah got a wife for her, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. Tamar, who's mentioned in Ruth. But her, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the Lord's sight, so the Lord put him to death. So God killed her, and so he's gone. Then Judah said to Omar, "Sleep with your brother's wife and fulfill your duty to her as a brother-in-law to raise up offspring for your brother." But Onan knew that the child would not be his. So this is the challenge, this is the difficulty of being a kinsman or a guardian redeemer, is that for the man, and I feel this comes across in mixed marriages of where, say, someone becomes a stepdad, for example, it's a difficulty because in this case, Onan, if he slept with Tamar and they had a son, it would still be technically his blood relative, but it would have carried on the line of his brother Ur, not his line. So later in the chapter, he doesn't fulfill this, and God strikes him down as well. Which makes what Boaz does later even more significant. But I think the person, I believe the one who shows us the greatest example of offering up their son to us, the greater example of fatherhood, is in fact God. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will we not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" So God, as a father, gave up his son, might be sacrificed, that Jesus would die on the cross for our sins. So God is the ultimate redeemer in providing a son so that we might be rescued, so that we might be saved. And so on this Father's Day, remember that even for people who might not be close with their dads, or maybe their dads have sadly passed away, that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us so much and who rescues us. Ruth chapter 3 verses 10 and 11 said, so that we know what actually happens in chapter 3, "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character." So just like in chapter 2, Ruth's character is being acknowledged. And so Boaz is praising her. He's showing her the respect that she deserves. And so it seems like, oh, well, this is easy. He's going to end up marrying her. But the twist at the end of this chapter, and the reason for chapter 4, is this. "Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another man who is more closely related than I." So that is the twist at the end of this chapter, that even though Boaz is a relative, he knows that there is someone closer. And maybe that's why he didn't do the initiating of this. Maybe He would have happily done it, but he knew that there was someone more closely related to Elimelech, Emalon, and Chilion. Mike Mitchell, our chase says, Boaz is the ideal kinsman redeemer described in Leviticus, and he foreshadows the redeemer who will embody the role in a surpassing way. Jesus was not the first redeemer from Bethlehem in Judah, but he was the greatest. So Boaz foreshadows, he points forward to another redeemer who was later to come, and that is Jesus, who also was from Bethlehem. So the Bible has all these amazing connections of, here's a man from Bethlehem who rescues someone, saves them because he redeems them, then later on a greater person, and Jesus also does the same, but doesn't just do it for one person, does it for all of humanity. So Jesus who came and rescued us means that we, if we choose to follow him, can be redeemed. As Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5 says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. So we are adopted into God's family. We are redeemed because of what Jesus did. And that's why the book of Ruth is great for us to read, not just in the context of an amazing love story, is also in the context of pointing forward to understanding the work Jesus does for us on the cross when he redeems us. So I leave you with this conclusion. There is a right and proper way to love someone, which Boaz demonstrated to Ruth. So Boaz made sure that he will do the right thing and go through the right process so that Ruth will be saved and so that she will be rescued. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Ruth chapter 3, Lord. We pray that this chapter will help people to understand not just Boaz's love for Ruth, but your great love for us by redeeming us. Lord, I pray for each person here on this Father's Day, Lord, that we would recognize and understand your great love for us as our Heavenly Father who sent his Son to redeem us. That he didn't hold on to Christ like he could have, but instead sent him to this earth to be beaten, to be mocked, to be crucified so that we might live. We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.